You're listening to the Journey Podcast. How can the spaces around us transform our mental health and physical well-being? Join us as we dive into a journey where design meets healing. Hi, I'm Petra Brunbauer, and with decades of experience with sadness, pain, anxiety, and stress, I finally figured out how to leave all that behind. And this podcast shows you how to break free permanently so you can reclaim your sanity and find the self-esteem and energy to go after the life you desire. With real talk about mental health, holistic healing, and the tough journey of coming out the other end, this is the Journey Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. In this episode, we explore the transformative power of design, delving into how our environments can profoundly affect our healing process and overall well-being. We discuss the principles of intentional design, emphasizing how spaces can be crafted to promote peace, healing, and positive energy. Drawing from the experiences of our guest, an interior designer with a unique perspective on the role of design in health, we uncover the subtle ways our surroundings influence our mental and physical health. Mawish Syed is an award-winning fashion and interior designer, celebrated author, cancer survivor, and devoted mother. Her creations have adorned bodies and homes for over two decades, fostering spaces that nurture and heal. Featured in distinguished publications like the New York Times, Architectural Digest, Elle Decor, and Hampton's Cottages and Gardens, her designs transcend boundaries. Her book, Purgatory to Paradise, unveils the triumphant cancer journey, showcasing how design became her healing sanctuary. Committed to empowering others, she advocates for personal paradises, affirming that genuine beauty is immediate and attainable for all. Here is my interview with Mawish Syed. Hi, Mawish. It's so great to have you on the podcast today. I've been looking forward to getting to chat with you because the healing power of design is such an intriguing topic for today's episode. Welcome to the podcast.
I am so delighted to be with you, Petra. Really, really excited.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And this is another topic that we have actually never spoken about before on the podcast. So I'm doubly excited to have you here today to speak about that. Now, for starters, would you like to share a little bit about yourself and your story so that our listeners can get a sense of where you've been, what's been your path, and what do you do now?
Thank you so much for asking that. I have been designing my entire life. So I'm a fashion designer, a jewelry designer, an interior designer for over two decades here in New York City. And it has been in my blood. It probably started way before even I was born. It runs in my family. We've always created our own clothing and so on and so forth. So I would say that my journey led me to you because I was initiated by my cancer. I would like to call it an initiation into a whole other world. And I was launched into what I call in my book, my underworld, which is the shadow side of our existence, and facing all these terrifying new discoveries about what was happening with my body. And in that, I discovered something so unique that I kept stepping one step towards the next step. And that was my pomegranate seeds of wisdom by combining my design background as my healing journey so that I could come out the other side even better than before. And I'm excited to share that process with you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that journey. And I imagine that dealing with a cancer diagnosis and everything that follows is already a lot to deal with. And then to focus on healing after and finding a path forward through all of that is very, very complicated and very complex. So in this journey that you took through your cancer and combining that with your passion and what's in your lifeblood, the design, how did those two things come together for you? When did you feel in that journey that there needed to be a design element in your healing journey?
Oh my God, great question. Honestly, it happened right in the midst of it, right during my treatment, not after, because a lot of people feel like they have to wait to feel better, get out of treatment in order to feel beautiful, in order to have beauty around them, feel good about themselves. I realized that in order for me to get through it, I had to embrace my beauty right in that moment, which is kind of counterintuitive because you don't feel good, right? But I feel like when you're suffering, that's when you need beauty the most. So I'll give you an example. When I was going through chemo, and I write about this in my book, it was in the basement. It was a warren of little rooms, which is from an interior design perspective, I'm like, why is it in the basement? From a mythological perspective and symbolic perspective, you're already underground. And I'm like, we're not dead yet. Like, this is not the right space for me to be going through this. And then as I was going through my infusion, I looked at the fluorescent lights, which were so jarring, and I turned them off. I said, that's not going to be helpful. So I started literally decorating my space while I was going through chemo with my accessories. And I realized that I had the agency and the insight to kind of perceive my surroundings through a sensory perspective. So for example, aromatherapy, I would take a scarf. I always have scarves around my neck and I had a cold cap on. It was really, really freezing. I had to wear ice mitts and little footies for the neuropathy. So I was encased in ice for 12 hours at a time. It was far worse in that respect than even the chemo infusion itself. But I would dab lavender essential oil on the corner of my scarf and then wrap it around myself and then inhale it to just center and ground myself into a better space. And I also employed a lot of meditation while I was going through this. So there's that side too. But what I want to say is at every single point of our journey, it's really essential to realize that your beauty is your way through it. And designing that beauty for me, it was like a seed that had already been planted, but the cancer watered it. And suddenly something beautiful sprouted from that experience.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds so empowering, what you did in that basement. That would have been so scary and unwelcoming. So to make that your space and try to help with your healing, that sounds amazing. I'm wondering, when you are going through a cancer journey, very often the individuals lose hair, they lose weight, they don't feel good. They are at some of their lowest points in their life. So how do you cope with those feelings that come up that you do not feel beautiful at the time and that you do not look in the mirror and go, I am so beautiful that I can get through this? How do you work with those feelings that come up?
Thanks for asking that question. I believe that, you know, our mindset is really important, but we are sensory beings. We experience the world through our senses. And when we're not feeling good, what I realized, and I designed a blueprint for pleasure. So rooting into my pleasure was really essential for me. So for example, when I wasn't able to eat my favorite foods and I was swollen and just really not in the mood to celebrate, I actually dove into celebrating each and every moment. And I'll give you an example of this. My mom would fly over for the chemo treatments each time. And the first time she cooked up like a whole, all my favorite dishes, all my favorite comfort Pakistani dishes. And I couldn't eat them. I couldn't eat them. It was so different. I couldn't handle the spice. It smelled different to me. So it was like, you know, you have morning sickness or, you know, you're going through all these different transformations. And so what I would do is if I could eat just a sliced banana or a little bit of yogurt, I would put it in my best dish and I would sprinkle rose petals on the table. I would light a candle. I would use my best cloth napkins and my best silverware that I didn't even use while I was healthy. And I created this ritual around celebrating and just being grateful for that banana to nourish me in that time. So even though I couldn't eat my mom's food, I was able to just appreciate that I was alive, that I was being able to imbibe what I could. During this cancer process, you know, I have my own business and I'm a single mom. I had, you know, at the time my son was 9, and it was, again, very important for me to show him that you can carry yourself with dignity and with grace and alignment, and to be able to still walk him to school in the morning. And, you know, I talked to his teacher and they knew. I didn't tell very many people, but like I would crawl him to school and we would be late, but it was okay because I wanted to do that ritual for him because that's what he wanted. I didn't want, you know what I'm saying? So there were things that I did that kept me one step in front of the other on my journey forward.
Yeah, I think you're touching on something really important there too, and that is that we need to appreciate the here and now and the moments that we have. So be that your food or be that being with your son, you know, appreciating those moments that we have and really celebrating where we are at. If that is by putting out a really nice dish, or that is by putting on a really nice dress or something that you love wearing, like your scarves, something that really celebrates that we are partaking in the here now and the moment. It's easy to forget that. And I think probably even easier when you are facing something like a cancer treatment, because you worry a lot, you think about the future. But to really be in the here and now and celebrate those moments. So I think that's such an important thing to keep in mind, no matter what we're going through at any given time. Yeah. Now, you combined your healing journey with your passion for design. And how does design and the creation of environment around you impact your healing? How did that, aside from the aromatherapy and the accessories that you brought, did you also change your home while you were going through this? Do you help other people change their environments as they're going through things? How does design come into this?
Thank you so much for that question. I am so excited to talk about this subject because it has many layers. It's not just, okay, the five senses definitely create that ritual for yourself. But I'm a designer and I advise other firms on their materials. So I started researching from the cancer lens, what's healthy, what's good for you. So on a very pragmatic level, I audited my entire home. And from the pots and pans that I was using to the types of materials that were on my sofa, my rugs, every single thing, every single material I looked at from a design lens and from a cancer lens. And I discovered, oh my goodness, so much insight. I started throwing away Teflon and things, the black plastic. And so I have an audit list of materials that you can look at. And it's very overwhelming because already cancer is overwhelming. But whether you're healthy or you're going through something, this list is for everyone, whether you want to prevent illness. And there are things in our homes that are silent killers. And one of the things I want to mention, our interior environment is often far more polluted than outside. And the number one culprit, the number one problem, I think, is our carpeting, our flooring, because they release VOCs over years at a time. So if your carpet is synthetic, or if it's a glue down using adhesive, or if it is, you know, the pad is synthetic, then it's going to constantly emit VOCs In addition to nanoparticles that comprise the dust that you breathe in your space. So from that level, there were things to remove. And then my huge textiles background suddenly came into play as well, because I realized that the ancient traditions I grew up with in Pakistan were suddenly so aligned in my healing, because I was able to tell which textiles were good for me, which ones were, you know, for thousands of years, we've used certain materials that are aligned with our health. And that's what I rooted myself into. How incredible.
Yeah, I'm just thinking along those lines in the house, paints also, right? They emit so many volatile compounds as they're drying over decades sometimes, right?
And yeah.
The bedding we sleep in, the things that we spend a lot of time in every day, our clothing, such an important part. So do you bring all of those elements into your design? Then you choose different kinds of flooring, different kinds of paint, things that actually will support health and well-being in the spaces that we spend so much time in every day.
Exactly. Your home can either heal you or kill you. And we are a living ecosystem. I like to think of my body as my home and your home as your body. It's kind of like a symbiotic relationship, and we're interacting with our environment at all times, and there's communication taking place. One of the things I also did was I got my certification in quantum biology and used the circadian principles to also look at the lens of illness and disease, and realize that, for example, our homes, for the most part, our sarcophagi, I like to say, we're entombed in our homes because there's hardly any air circulation. We close all our windows. And from a circadian standpoint and from a health standpoint, opening your window, just the simple little things that you can do right here, right now, that will help you on a physiological and spiritual level, is really something I love sinking my design teeth into and helping others really create their own healing oasis.
Yeah, actually, it sounds like there is a lot of science that goes into design as well. And you kind of touch on some of the effects that your home can either support you or kill you. So are there genetic effects that we see with design and the emotions and how that impacts our health?
So over 2/3 of cancers are epigenetic, which is a result of your lifestyle and your environment. And that includes the food that you eat, the place where you are, and the relationships you have. So the emotional side of your health is incredibly important, because like I wrote in my book, your body and your soul are one, and your emotions are really solid. Your body is your emotions in solid form. Like, I don't believe in any kind of separation between any of these constructs that we like to parse out for our own convenience. But holistic design, what does that really mean? It's really the sum of all these parts, right? We are in harmony. And when you're in harmony, you're in health. And how do I achieve that as a designer is what I've made my life's mission.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, because I can almost hear some of the listeners saying, well, should I just live in a wood cabin in the middle of nowhere with no conveniences, because that will be really healthy. So how do we achieve a sense of balance in the things that are healthy for us and when it comes to design, but also some of the creature comforts that we are attached to as human beings?
That's a great question. And by the way, I'm the perfect guinea pig. I live in the middle of Gotham, in the granite spires of New York City. And I'm lucky enough to have a garden here too. I grow as much as I can, my herbs and my vegetables and my roses. But whether or not you have a garden, I think, and I list this out too, an indoor greenery, any kind of indoor greenery is really, really beneficial for your health and for your emotional well-being. There are scientific studies on biophilic design, is design that is really embracing nature and nature's wisdom. And there's so much science to this, because when you look at a plant, like I have this ficus right here, it's not only filtering your air, it's also enhancing your brain waves. When you look at leaves, you drop into a theta state. You are actually calming your nervous system when you're around plants and greenery. And also there are studies that have tracked people who have gardened and take care of plants. They actually decrease their level of anxiety and loneliness, especially during the pandemic when we were so isolated. To be able to take care of something and to monitor something is incredibly beneficial and healing for us.
There's a lot of scientific insight that goes into sign aspect, but it makes me think of, for example, ecotherapy or nature therapy, right? That we have scientific insights in that it can heal us, can bring us stress relief benefits. It can lower all of our stress hormones when we spend time in nature. So there's so much to that, what you just explained. So it would make sense to bring some of those benefits into our homes. Now, do you also work with people on their workspaces? Because that, of course, is another place where we end up spending a lot of time during the day and often hours and hours, maybe even on the weekend. Can we bring some of these insights into our workspaces where we might not have as much control over what we can and can't do?
That's a great question. Absolutely. The whole point of having your paradise now is actionable and accessible steps that you can take right here, right now. Because look, when I went through cancer, tomorrow may never come. Like I was looking at my world through a completely different lens, a very existential moment. And I think, you know, death is inevitable for everyone, which we like to avoid thinking about. But in that, I think it's really important to see how we have the agency to create a better life while we're living it today. And so in terms of, you say, for example, you have to go somewhere, like the way I went away to the hospital, I mean, I had flowers with me, and you could definitely bring flowers and put flowers on your desk. Flowers have a frequency that really raises your vibration. And there's a reason why, there's a spiritual reason why people were given flowers while they were ill. And they do help. Roses have a very high frequency. I love growing them. I love taking care of them. They have a lot to teach me. So whatever flower that you like, whether it's sunflowers or just dahlias, daffodils, whatever's in season, I think it's so important to bring flowers on your desk fresh. I always laugh at, you know, the fake flowers or the fake plants in office spaces because they're literally killing you. The plastic are releasing VOCs. I'm like, wait, this is like the exact opposite. This is a killer disguised as a savior. Like, that's weird. So I definitely discourage you from buying a fake plant. I highly recommend that you invest in something that has life in it because every single part of this earth has life in it and it has benefit for our health. So that's number one. And the other is, oh my gosh, sometimes offices are so cold, like you don't control the heating and the cooling. So I recommend bringing in either a scarf or a sweater that is like mohair, something that's comforting, that feels good against your skin, that you can put on whenever the environment is not to your liking. And I have even tips in terms of lighting. Like if you can turn your overhead fluorescence off, I would highly recommend it. I would recommend natural daylight wherever you can find it. And then a desk lamp. I design offices. I've worked in private residential and commercial spaces. So a beautiful desk lamp that bathes your surface in a warm glow creates intimacy. It creates a mood. So those are just some simple ideas right there and then.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And I like the idea of personalizing our spaces, even though they may not be ours, as if we're just working at a desk in a large office or something, but still making that effort to bring that design into our lives to support our health. And I have to laugh because as you're talking, I'm looking at my fake plant beside me here. and I'm thinking to myself, I should really get rid of that. But I bought it because our cat keeps eating all of the plants and they're not very good for him. So
my list is actually pet friendly. So I looked at NASA's list from that perspective, from the air filtration. And then I looked at it because I have a cat too. And I looked at it from a pet perspective and I combined these things that were like pet friendly and, you know, they're not going to keel over if they chew on it. So it's definitely possible, Petra. It's definitely possible. It's within your reach.
Amazing.
And there are low light plants that you can, that are okay in a less than optimal daylight setting.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, it's one thing if you're a pet owner, obviously, if you're bringing live plants into the house, to definitely check your list and speak with you about that, because we don't want to cause any problems for our pet companions and still have the benefits of the live plants. So I will speak with you about that after the recording so I can get rid of my fake plant.
What is your cat's name?
His name is Tut, like the pharaoh of ancient Egypt, Tutankhamun. Yeah.
I love that. Mine is Atlas.
Oh, wow. Another mythology figure. I love it.
We were meant to connect. That's it.
Exactly.
That's great.
Well, cats have such big personalities. You have to always try and find a name that does that justice, right?
Yes. They're so regal. They were considered divine by the Egyptians. So I agree. I have a cat, what's that, cat scratching post, and it's a column. And when he sits on it, Petra, he looks like a statue, like an Egyptian statue. And I have Nefertiti here too. So Nefertiti's on a column and then he's on a column and I'm going, this is crazy. How is this happening? So yeah, life is a beautiful art form. I think we really don't realize that we can create our paradise. And that includes our mythology. That includes our folklore. Like if you really love Egyptian mythology, you can bring that aspect. And I talk about it in my course. Talismanic design is something I did naturally when I had my dress shop in the East Village. I would screen print excerpts of my journals that people started collecting because, you know, for job interviews, something that was inspirational made them feel grounded. So they started wearing them and lining the insides of jackets or inside of a sash of a belt, all these like secret messages, right? And I then took that idea to encompass the things that have meaning for you. For example, a symbol, an ankh. Or, you know, in Greek mythology, it would be the crescent moon. So again, taking those symbols and having and decorating with them in your space that has meaning for you, it's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly powerful. Look, people make suggestions, you know, television programming, people make suggestions to us all the time. Why not control what you're suggesting to yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. And that makes me think of the sacred geometric designs also that, you know, many of the ancient cultures incorporated in their homes, in their palaces, really everywhere they went to draw and align the energy in their lives. So that makes sense to me to bring some of those elements into our own lives to support flow of energy in the home, flow of energy around our bodies, because all of that will affect us throughout the day and throughout the weeks that we spend time in those spaces. So yeah, that's amazing. I love that you do that. I love that you bring that into your design.
Yeah, it's really important for me because I'm very anthropological. I work with my clients to understand what matters to them, what's meaningful to you, right? Could be something different. It's not about trends. It's not about, oh yeah, you know, I'm really into this color. You should be into this color too, because I like it. No, you like what you like. And there's a reason for that. And let's explore through the lens of your inner child. Like, what did you like when you were 5 years old? What made you happy? Let's bring those things back. I'll give you another example. When I was going through my cancer journey, I found a picture of myself when I was 15 years old. I was searching for her because I wasn't looking like myself, right? And I found this very just blurry, but I remember that moment when I was just so happy. It was before any boys in my life ever sullied anything and broke my heart in pieces. It was just this innocence of Mawish being an artist and just sewing clothes and playing with my, you know, little sisters. So that girl, I take that picture on my mirror and I would look at her every day and I would remind myself of the person I still was. And I think that's so important. No matter how old we get and how much we change on the outside, we are still that little boy and that little girl. And I think I design for that little boy and little girl. I design from that place of our innocence and that sense of wonder. I think that's really important. And I think it's really healing too.
Yeah, it touches us in a certain way. I think when we have those memories and we come from that place of curiosity, wonder, awe about the world. So that I think would be such a powerful element to incorporate in your home, for example, in a design where you spend so much time. I love that too. Yeah. Now, you work with clients and you design, but you also have programs and you wrote a book. Do you want to let our listeners know a little bit about what you offer, program and service-wise, and how could they work with you and what would that look like for them?
Thank you so much. My program is called Claim Your Paradise. And my book is called Purgatory to Paradise. And, you know, purgatory stands for living life by default and being in the purgatory of treatment and finally realizing that I couldn't wait to live, that I had to live my best life, even when I was going through one of the greatest scary moments of my existence. And that paradise is always within you at all times. And as a designer, it's my honor, my privilege, and my pleasure to help you claim your paradise that is inside you at all times. And so in Claim Your Paradise, there are different offerings, whether you're a patient going through cancer or you're a doctor who wants to create a healing space for your patients. So there's both sides of it. And for anyone who hasn't gone through and is lucky to not have gone through any illness, who still wants to find their beauty in their here and now, you can also, there's many different ways to learn your quantum home, for example, how to look at your home from a quantum lens, because that's really important, how to audit your home for things to prevent any kind of illness. So that's an offer. So there's many different ways to approach your paradise. And I think everyone deserves beauty, Petra. Everyone deserves beauty. And, you know, I've been lucky enough in New York to create beauty for a lot of people in a very kind of luxurious way. Let's just put it that way. And that's fine. And I remember doing a workshop with other cancer survivors, and one person asked, well, what about me? Like, what have you got for me? And I was like, oh my God, have I got stuff for you? Like, I think there's this fallacy that real beauty is expensive, right? And it's not. Real beauty is accessible. You just need to learn how. And I love being your guide in helping you discover your beauty in your here and now within your home with what you've got. It doesn't even have to be like you have to buy something, but it's what you got. And as a matter of fact, for your listeners, I have a gift for them, which is the top three things you can acquire right now that are inexpensive. I vetted everything out from a high-end designer beauty perspective and a health perspective. Three things you can add to your home today that will help you instantly feel better and start creating your paradise now.
Amazing. Thank you so much for offering that. And we, of course, will be linking to all of Mawish's offerings in the show notes as well. So be sure to check there on how you can connect with her, how you can work with her on programs, on design, how you can get the guide. And hopefully you'll find something in there that you can add to your home that will already be a start to the road to health and well-being for yourself. So be sure to check that out. Well, this has been another incredible episode, and I really hope our listeners have enjoyed this journey into the healing power of design as much as I have. I have learned so much in the past half hour with you. Thank you so much for coming here today and talking to our listeners and sharing the wisdom that you have gathered about this over decades. Thank you so much, Mawish.
Utterly my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. And take really good care of yourself. And I hope we speak again soon.
Likewise, likewise. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. If you enjoy the Journey podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing on social media, and leaving us a review. We appreciate you. And you can find more of The Journey on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our website, thejourney.com. Sending you love and courage, and see you next time.